Check. All right, it's 5:32 on November 2nd, 2017, work session.
There's not a whole lot on the agenda to talk about. There is one thing. So earlier in the year, I submitted basically to the state a daily account of what I do. And I was supposed to do that for 3 months, and that's just for New York State retirement purposes. Well, they wanted more detail. So for the last 3 months, I felt like, pardon me, Tony, but an attorney
doing his
accounting
time
for my time. And rather than make it fairly lengthy, I thought I'd pass it around the table just so that you guys could take a look at it. Probably next meeting, there's going to be a motion to accept my accounting of my work schedule that will be resubmitted to New York State.
So, I don't remember having done this before. Did we do this every year?
I don't think they've done it in the past, not that I recall.
I don't remember you doing it last year, and I don't remember the previous administration ever doing it.
I remember submitting hours, but I don't remember the board ever. Or maybe we did finalize it.
I don't think that, we may have talked about hours, but I don't think you had to do a...
Well, I think...
No.
Hour by hour.
Well, that's what New York State wanted from me.
Yeah, that's probably...
So, in order for them to accept it, you guys need to look at it. If you have any questions about it, it's not real exciting. I did make abbreviations, like TLEOP in there, is the Town of Lysander Emergency Operations Plan, instead of writing that out every time I worked on it.
Yeah.
It's TLEOP. There's not detail as far as what I talked about specifically, but it's who I met with, at what times, for how long.
So who's requesting this?
New York State Retirement System. I guess they're doing this. I talked to them today, and they're doing this across the state. It's very time-consuming.
How many months?
Three months.
3 months?
Every year?
No, I just have to, I think they want to get an idea of what my typical day is, so they do just a time shot in the course of a year, and so this is what...
My guess is it's to figure out, like the officials, obviously, the town supervisor doesn't necessarily put in an 8-hour day, and my guess is, because of the retirement system and the cost of those funds, they're trying to determine... To say, okay, if you're a town supervisor, we're going to credit you with X number of hours towards your retirement period, based upon information from you and probably others
that you submit,
and you say, okay, everybody's average is 6 hours a day. That's what you're going to get for your retirement, even if you worked 8.
Yeah,
that's my guess because it.
They want to make sure that you're putting in it's based on a 35-hour work week.
Right, right.
It's full time considered in New York State. So
that's interesting.
But that's kind of a new thing with elected officials. They never,
I don't think it's a bad thing.
No,
I was a little irked that the first one wasn't complete enough. So that's, it can be a pain because you'll be working throughout the day and then realize that you haven't. Then you got to go back and remember what you did at certain times of the day. And I wanted to make sure that all those things matched up with phone calls. I wanted to be able to make sure that it would pass any kind of an audit. So it's really a pain in the neck.
Did you know 3 months ago that you were going to have to do this?
Yeah.
You did? Oh, you knew that?
It's probably the most consistent thing that's been in my life in the last 3 months.
I'll tell you.
I have a new sympathy for what my wife has to do. That she works in the pharmaceutical industry and she works on different projects and she has to account for her time on each project, and I know attorneys, when they bill for their time, you spend half your time just accounting for your time.
There's a
we can bill for that.
I'll tell you a quick story. There's a guy by the name of Mark McCormick who passed away now. Mark McCormick was the sports guy that met up with Nicholas and Palmer. He represented those guys when they first started. He has a company called IMG, which is still around today, much bigger than when he started it. But he had, I don't know if you call it a quirk or whatever, he kept a diary of everything he did every day. When I say everything he did, I mean everything he did.
You know when he flossed his teeth?
I mean, he just went to the bathroom, got on the plane, what time, got off the plane. It was just unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
wow.
Nuts.
But he started with those guys. He started with Palmer, and then he picked up Nicholas and Player, and then they picked up a whole lot more, and then the company just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. They bought out TV rights to a lot of TV programs, sports programs. They have a place down in Florida called IMG Academy where they train young tennis players or soccer players. You go to school down there. It's like $50,000 a year to go to school, but you train in whatever your sport is. Big, huge company. They represent Tiger Woods and, you know, yeah. a lot of the big athletes. But he used to keep a diary of everything.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine taking the time to do this. You know,
I hope we're not in there. Just, I wouldn't want to know. Yeah.
No, it's not that specific.
No, this guy.
This guy.
Oh, yeah.
We know you didn't include all your
stuff. No.
I hope not.
Other than that, I did start putting... I'm just going to hand this out, and I want you to... this is just for your information. It's background information on budgets. The first thing I'm going to hand out, I think John Salisbury worked on probably his last year, and it's a fair amount of information. I added to it. I updated it from 2016 forward. I also put the original proposed budget in 2016. One of the things that I noticed now that I didn't notice then is typically after the public hearing on a budget, you can make changes to your budget. There, and I think it's mentioned specifically in state law that you can't make significant changes to the budget.
I don't know if significant is mentioned. You can amend the budget between the public hearing and the date to adopt.
Okay.
Sure.
But
what you can't do is you can't change the salaries of the whatever you published as far as the salary.
After the public hearing.
Right. Well, okay. Once the public hearing is held, whatever you published in the newspaper, that has to stay.
Okay. Well, so here's
can be increased.
Absorb this going into our last work session. This is just historical data.
Thank you.
And then what I also did was I charted it up. So if you like pretty color charts, this is expenditures, tax rates, allocated fund balance, beginning of year fund balance. So I got four charts for you to look at. Beginning of year, and I only have four of these, so Tony, you can look on. I don't think we're really going to. It says allocated fund balance. Expenditures, and you'll notice, I believe, aside from...
You said it was four of these?
Yeah, this is the last one. The most consistent chart is expenditures in the town. The town hasn't really, except for highway, hasn't really changed a whole lot over the course of the years. What's changed and what you'll notice is use of fund balance to manipulate the tax rate. And I want you to look over this information because I think we need to incorporate this in our discussion when we meet next week.
This is great, Joe.
It's just, yeah, I think that the board needs to have a broader understanding of the history of our budgets, how they evolved, what contributed to them as far as the fund balances and where the rates came in. Because, and I'm one of five on the board, but I'm sensing, I wouldn't go so far as saying alarming, but if we continue on the same track without making what some would consider significant tax rate adjustments. For me, it's 3 or 4% adjustments. Without making some sort of adjustment upward, we may see a time eventually where we don't have fund balance at all to contribute to the budget. And I think the board needs to be aware of that and understand that trend, because we are charged with making sure that the town manages its funds and allocates its funds so that we can accomplish our mission. And I think what we've been doing is, you know, because being fiscally conservative, we go in trying to cap spending at a certain rate. And when you do that, you can get away from your mission statements. Usually, well, when I looked at budgets in a prior life, I would take in the information from the department heads, and they would submit budgets based on their needs, not what their wants were. And I would sit down with them and really drill down, okay, this piece of equipment that you want, how bad do you need it? What's it replacing? Can we get by another year? Is it costing us money? You know, just really drilling down on those early proposed budgets. And then we'd sit down, and based on the department head's budgets, we would then back into a number. And eventually we would use, and we had the benefit in the village of Ballinsville to have a healthy fund balance, and we would use the fund balance to massage the rate. And we were fortunate enough in the village to have a pretty healthy fund balance, so that that's how we managed the fund, that's how we used the fund balance. That's not the case here. And especially after having a 22% tax cut, to think that a 7% adjustment in 1 year is going to be able to offset that hit. It's a step, but the next batch of information that I'm going to present to the board is a 3 or 4 year outlook as far as what our goals should be, because our spending doesn't change a lot outside of healthcare costs going up and negotiated salaries. Salt's pretty steady, fuel's pretty steady. Those are pretty consistent things. But if we're ever going to get to a point where we have a fund balance that is steady, which is our stated goal, we need to start looking to the future. Because if we continue to manage to what we think in our mind, a preconceived rate where it should be, then the fund balances are just going to be depleted. And the board needs to be aware of this. You know, I'm fortunate to have an office right next to the comptroller. So I have access to all these numbers, and it's going to be my mission between now and when we meet again to provide you with that background so that we can start making decisions, I think, looking to the horizon. Because I think what we're doing right now is we're going year by year, and we're relying heavily on a fund balance. And when we do that, not only are we putting a lot of fund balance to manipulate the rate low, we're carving into the fund balance. And so what you're going to see is fund balance depletion to a point where we're going to get to a point where, as a fiscally conservative board, there's not going to be any other option except to raise rates significantly, and I don't think we want to do that. So just being open and honest with it and with the public, that's what it is.
So right now, you pretty much go year to year to year, as you said, right?
Yeah. I mean, basically, that's what we did our first year. Well, my first year as supervisor, and that's kind of how we presented it this year. What I think we need to do is have a longer-term outlook.
3-year plan, 4-year plan, 5-year.
Yeah, and we can do that because we have tools at our disposal. We have department heads that know their job, that do a great job. And if we sit down and we utilize those tools and those individuals, I just think the town residents are going to be much better served.
So it's almost like a wish list or the things that you planned that maybe it's a new truck or...
Well, yeah, you can incorporate those things. I mean, you can a fleet maintenance schedule, and there's going to be additional tools that are going to be at our disposal that are going to help us, hopefully in the future, do a better job at this. But it's just, it's a different way. We're conservatives. We don't want to see taxes go up. I mean, we just have a mindset, you know, we have an idea of what we're comfortable with as far as a rate goes. But we have three different funds, and it's tough to manage to that when you've got a highway fund, a part town fund, and a whole town fund. Because to get to that rate that you're comfortable with passing on to the your fund balance contributions fluctuate wildly, and you'll see that in these charts. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to present one more chart to you, and it's going to be based on a fantasy of having expenditures not increase at all. So if we didn't spend a dime more in the next 4 years, this is where, at our current tax rate, we're going to end up. Knowing, though, that the reality is that from year to year, our costs go up between $40,000 and $50,000 just based on any number of things. Health insurance. You know, we had a 14% increase this year in health insurance. Like, we can't. Those are things that are out of our control. And I don't want to come across as, you know, the county executive takes a position year after year about unfunded mandates. And how those things are crushing the county. You know, in that regard, I have some sympathy there, because there are things that are out of the county executive's control that just go up that we have to deal with. But I think it's important for us to have a long-term vision. Now, even beyond our term. And if we're not here, then it's up to the next administration to either tweak that vision as they see fit, but I don't think that we should continue to go year by year when we look at our budgets. I just don't think that's not good for highway in our road maintenance schedule. It doesn't take into account the decay rate in our highways. Our budget does not take into account right now our fleet maintenance schedule. I mean, we get one, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, there's nothing that you can really point at that's somewhat of a predictable, okay, and this year we're probably going to need a truck. At this year, we're going to, based on the, you know, we don't have, there's a tool coming, I hope, that is going to help us in that regard. But I think really good fiscal management of a municipality needs to look to the future. So that's my spiel.
Can I ask you? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I like the idea of looking beyond a year, trying to plan further than that. And again, can beyond our tenure here, but if there's a plan that we can put in place and try to put us on solid ground, that would be good.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's nothing that's going to lock us into anything,
right.
But it will give somewhat of a roadmap, and it'll allow the residents, as they look at their town, you know, this is something that I could see made available to the public so they could get an understanding of what we're talking about and some of the challenge that we see going forward. Because, you know, residents may see a totally different picture, or they may come in and want to question us on it. That's great. You know, hopefully we get some participation so they can understand a little bit better how we accomplish each mission in each department.
So before we meet and discuss this, Joe, I just got a question. And maybe I'm seeing things completely mistakenly. But the 2018 allocated fund balance, I don't think that number is right. You have $873,000. And this chart here says that we're only allocating $216,000.
Oh, that chart might be.
But I think your chart is wrong. I don't think we ever talked about spending 873.
Well, here's the 2018. And so fund balance contribution for the appropriated fund balance for the 2018 budget was $873,000.
Okay, so then this number is right, but then what's out of what? All we have is $914,000?
Yeah, I mean, this is using, I believe, 60%. And when David gets here, he'll be able to better answer
this. No, that's more like 80-90%.
Yeah, but we need, if you want to come in at 3.89 or under 4%, which was a stated goal.
Yeah, but so Dave said the fund balance was going to, what was left unallocated was
18%.
Was 50, like 18%. So something's wrong.
Well, is it the total? Look at the blue. Look at the blue column. The blue bar there? $187,000.
That was for $187,000 was used as the appropriated fund balance in the general fund.
Right.
And if you look at last year, we used $630,000 of allocated fund balance. Knowing, though, you need to understand this. Of the $630,000 that was allocated towards the general fund, we're going to use about $300,000 of that. Okay. The good news this year is that we're relying less on fund balance, so the trend is going in the direction that we want it to go.
Right.
We want to be less reliant on fund balance. But what I'm trying to do is, and we're working very hard at this, recovering from a 22% tax cut, I'm trying to bring us into a soft landing so that we don't have that yo-yo effect of, well, they cut 22%, but we're going to raise it up another 15% the next year. You know, what I'm trying to do is, you know, last year we did a 7%. You know, I don't know what you'll see in the next chart is where I think we need to be in the next 2 or 3 years to get that soft landing so that the taxpayers aren't hit with a huge increase.
But right now, unless something changes, Joe, between now and when we vote on the budget, we're using 95% of the fund balance according to this.
Is allocated fund balance. Now I'll have David double check that.
We can't.
It's skewed a little bit because here's the other thing. The highway
trucks
are in there.
That's the green line, and that's where
The trucks, so back $250,000 out of the highway part town. Okay, that's another thing that's skewing this a little bit. If we pass this budget, because the trucks are factored in here, we are proposing a 23-cent cut in the highway rate. You shouldn't do that. What is throwing off our numbers is the fund balance allocation to purchase those trucks. Ideally, what we would do is we would hold the rate steady and use what we've put for capital purchase towards the purchases of highway trucks. But what this is doing, by using a high fund balance towards the purchase of those trucks, it's cutting into our rate. It's artificially chopping our rate by 23 cents per thousand. You don't want, that's where we're getting these yo-yos. And that's why what I want to put in front of you is a different way of looking at the budget. We need to start looking down the next 3, 4, even 5 years. I won't do 5 years. I won't have time to do 5 years. But 3 or 4 years down the road, because you'll see that during election years and truck purchase, we're also pivoting how we purchase trucks. In the past, typically, if we're looking at $250,000 in purchases, we would put out a bond or a ban.
Right.
And we'd pay that over 5 years. Well, we got away from that. We said we're not doing that anymore for capital purchases in highway. We are setting aside $125,000 a year, and we're going to let that build up, and when we need a truck, we're going to pay cash. Because we're going to start seeing interest rates go up. and we're going to start seeing bond payments come off the books. Those are good things. So I don't want to sit here and give you a doom and gloom picture of where we are, but there's no reason why we should have a 23-cent tax cut this year in highway. It just doesn't. The budget doesn't warrant that.
Yeah, and we've got to make these charts understandable because, you know, David Raleigh's notes here show that we have $863,000 allocated tentatively at this point, which is
873,000.
He had 863 in this chart that he gave out. I didn't put a date on it, but what's unappropriated as of 12/31/2017, his projection is another 924,000. So right now, is it 863 minus 924?
No, so what's thrown it, take the eight, and I'm showing 873 on the updated. Do you guys have the sheet from your budget update, which gets our rate up to 3.89%? Now, again, overall, if you take the $250,000 out of that we're putting from the capital reserve account for trucks, we're relying less this year on overall fund balance than we did last year. But it just so happens that we're planning on
removing those trucks.
Or buying those,
The last sheet that he gave out on October 24th still has $863,000 in it. It doesn't have 873. So I don't have a new sheet after 10/24.
This is the last sheet I have. Okay, it was 863. So I've got 873 on mine.
Something changed between 10/24 and now.
But nothing significantly that would change the rest of the numbers.
The suggestion I would make, just because this set this capital or this reserve account, let's call it the reserve account for highway equipment, confuses the hell out of things. If you recall, I asked David Raleigh why we had to do this. He said, well, the state requires you to put all of that money into the fund balance. Fine, I get that. Yep. You know, let the comptroller be happy. But there should be another chart, another bar chart here that shows that, you know, that the high, or it's two different colors. I want is that skews it, because there's 200 and what?
$25,000
in there. But looking at this, you would never know that. And we need to know that.
Right.
From year to year.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that's another data point.
But I can't pass a budget if all we're going to have left in the bank that we've after we've allocated things in January is under $100,000.
No. So again, when you look at fund balance allocated to a budget, it's not anticipated that you're going to use all of the fund balance allocated. The fund balance allocated is to massage a rate. Okay, so we don't use, just because for round numbers, just because we put $100,000 towards the budget, doesn't mean we're going to use $100,000 in allocated fund balance.
I hear you, Joe. And that is true, that every single year, whatever you've budgeted, whether you didn't get because it rained, you can't do all the road work, but we've assigned every single one of those dollars. And the only dollars that we may all say to ourselves collectively we won't use is $45,000 in contingency, which is for a deputy highway superintendent. All the other dollars are assigned, and I know that they are not all going to get spent. But you can't tell me that if the sun shines every single day, that we won't spend every one of those dollars. We have the potential to do it. We budgeted for them.
Right.
And so I'm not gonna sit here being really comfortable that, I guess, you know, Tony Birkinshire won't do all the programs, so we don't have to spend, we'll have some money there. Or the highway superintendent won't pave all the roads. I guess we'll have some money there. I'm not going to be happy with that. I can't be happy with that. The budget's assigned. And whatever is left over in fund balance is what's in the fund balance. And, you know, at the end, 12/31/18, yeah, I know there'll be $200,000 or $300,000 more that we didn't spend. But that's not going to make me. We're starting out the year with under $100,000 in the fund balance, unless David Raleigh is.
Well, it's add 200. Well, Dave's going to. He's got an accurate number of where. for that at that level of question, he's just got a better idea of where we're going to land, because we're still collecting vouchers from Al. We're trying to get a read of where we're going to land this year.
You know, for next Wednesday, that you know this is critical.
Yeah, but I think what you'll see is, you know, last year we assigned $630,000 to the general fund. We cannot assign $630,000. We don't have $630,000 in fund balance in the general fund because we're carved into it. Mm-hmm. So we're going in a direction that's it's not. And I would say, if a correction isn't made, well, we made a correction last year. I think that was a step. That was a step. But to think that a 7% tax hike is going to help us deal with a 22% tax cut, that's just not. That's not. It's not healthy. And here's another thing. If we were to pass this budget, and it just happens, you know, you're going to see significant percent increases in certain areas of the town. So that's now a high percent. There's a high percent dollars wise. If you break out what the impact is in dollars, the dollars is relatively small. But those are things that we're going to have to address when we meet again. So just take a look at these numbers, absorb them, come up with your own charts or whatever. I was trying to get all four of these on a single sheet, but I mean, it was like reading.
No, this is fine. Like this.
Off the head of a pin.
What's the drop dead date on passing this budget?
I think it's the 20th.
It's the third Thursday.
You know, I should have.
I think it's
adopt the budget. I'm sorry, November 16th.
Well, that's not the.
That's
when we're going.
That's when we're scheduled.
Right.
But I think until the 20th.
I think it's the 20th.
Sure.
I mean, we'll check for sure when David gets in.
Joe, what happens if you don't?
Oh, we'll have a budget for sure, because if we don't, it's you automatically revert back to the previous year's budget. That hurts.
And you have to pass a budget because the tax rate is what we sent.
Well, it would be last year's. You'd have a repeat of last year's rate.
You can't not pass a budget.
No, and the things that we're going to be talking about, they're going to be serious conversations, but we've done the work as far as we've looked at the expenses. I think everybody at this table is familiar on the expense side. That's, believe it or not, that's kind of that's where a lot of the work is done, in looking at the needs of the departments. But now, the massaging of the budget comes, the politics of the budget is what we're dealing with when we start talking about fund balance allocation and what the tax rate's going to be.
And I'm seeing it here, Joe. The estimated fund balance on 12/31/2017 is what I said before. It's $1.8 million. That's what Dave is saying is there, and we're budgeting 863, leaving 924. That's good. That's an 18% fund balance, which is why these charts are not right. So
no, the charts are right as far as the information that we plugged into them. I mean, they check out as far as allocated fund balance. 873 is the total. Uh-huh. 567 is the highway contribution to the highway. $29,000 is part town, $187,000.
Right, so you're right. It is right. And I misinterpreted that, but basically this one is at the beginning of the year fund balance. And after we do that, of allocating 873, we will still have $914,000.
Gotcha. Yes.
That's a hell of a lot better than what I was thinking 5 minutes ago.
Right. Mm-hmm. But total, that's total. Now, when you look at individual fund balances in each fund, that's where you need to understand where the expenditures are, mm-hmm. and how much fund balance you're going to have in each fund. And that's why I wanted to show you this chart. And that's why the next chart that I show you guys that I didn't have time to work on is when we look into the future. I don't know if I'll... What would you prefer? Would you prefer a flat expenditure? It's not... It won't be real. I want you to have a tool that's a realistic tool for you to consider in our deliberation. So do you want me to put in a $40,000 increase just in cost increase year over year?
What was that? To do what now?
So the next chart you're going to see are expenditures and allocation. And if we kept the same allocation, percent allocation of our fund balance.
I think we need David to make that determination. Tell us how much it actually goes up, you know, historically. And then you can make that projection.
Yeah, I mean, you can look, you can look at expenditures.
Right, right.
I mean, so you could do an average.
Find an average of that and then project it from there. Instead of making it flat, we know it's not going to be flat.
Right. That makes sense. Do we want to do 3 years or 4 years?
Well, the longer you do, the better the average, I think, the overall average. So we can go back to 2014 because it's been pretty flat. If you look at 2014, it was $4,789,000. 2015 was $4,963,000. 2016 was $4,771,000. 2017 was $4,775,000. So the expenditures have been actually incredibly consistent. What's been inconsistency is the allocation of fund balance in getting to those numbers. And the rate. Those two things are jumping all over the place. So it just all we're going to be doing is following through on our commitment. We're trying to iron this thing out. And one of the things that's throwing it is, and it's a good thing because I think it's a direction that we want to continue on. We want to continue to build capital accounts so that those are shock absorbers and so that we can use those funds without going into debt for replacements in trucks. Because as the economy improves, hopefully continues to go up, there's going to be a check in interest rates. As interest rates go up, you're going to be spending more on debt.
November 20th.
Yeah, that's what I figured. All right.
That's helpful.
Freak anybody out or confuse anybody. It is what it is. I just want you to have more information at your disposal.
Okay.
Do you guys have anything you want to talk about? Any questions? What's going on?
I'll give you what's going on. Our firm merged with Barclay Damon yesterday. Barclay Damon is the largest firm in New York, outside of New York City. 275 members. They have offices in Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo, Toronto, Albany, Boston, New York, Washington, and Newark. Their home office is in Syracuse. They have about 150 people here. Nothing changes with us. Our retainer stays the same. Our fees stay the same. I think it's a benefit for us in that if we need outside counsel for labor, they have it. They've covered all kinds of areas. And we'll have with my direction, we'll have a little better handle on expenses for that type of stuff. The rest of the stuff that we're doing and I'm doing stays the same. It's still me. That's not going to change.
Excellent.
So
that's great.
I do need you to sign a letter just saying that's okay because we have to switch our files from one system over to the next. We've been going through training this past week.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare because their computer system is different than ours. We have to learn how to do theirs time entries.
Do you have a letter for me?
Yeah,
I've
got a letter, yeah.
Okay. So we don't need a board motion because the firm is, it's the same.
Still the same, we're just, it's a different name now.
Okay.
But I think it'll be good for us, and at some point in time I want to invite you guys to come down and see the place. They have beautiful offices. They have a deck on the 15th floor of the Barclay Damon Tower, which is right in the middle of Syracuse.
Is that the one that's lit up?
Yeah.
So you're moving?
We will be moving eventually. It's going to take them probably 6 months to build out the space and stuff. So we're staying right where we are now. They rewired our whole building to fit in with their system, so when the phone rings at our office, it rings in their office. So they spend a lot of time with people over there. It's been a nightmare.
My brother's company's
in right down. He's
Ephesus.
In, yeah, he's in the first floor.
Yeah.
Nice building, and it's like I say, when we have an open house type thing, I'll have you guys come down.
Sure.
Just so that you see the place, meet the people who do the labor stuff so that you can talk to them and, you know, ask questions, what do you need? So I think it'll be good news for everybody.
Nice. Nice.
That seems to be the trend. They had a meeting in, I think, in Denver with management, people from all over. And the trend is there's the bigger firms are absorbing the smaller firms are having a harder time between the technology and all that, having a harder time keeping up with, you know, what's going on.
Hmm.
So the bigger firms are kind of moving in and picking up a lot of the smaller firms, which is what they did with us.
Well, they're probably bundling services.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. Like you said.
It's strange. If you take a big company now, a la Honeywell, okay, when they go out to hire outside, they have their own in-house counsel, the general counsel of the company, but they hire outside counsel for almost all their work. They do it by a bid on the telephone. So what you do is you call in a number, and let's say there's three people bidding, and you put your hourly rate in. You can see your hourly rate, but you can't see everybody else's. And then they'll tell you, then they flash back within a minute or two and they'll say, let's say there's three people, you're the highest or the middle or the lowest. You can bid again.
You bid again?
You bid again. So you're kind of bidding against yourself.
Awesome.
And they don't, you know, some of the guys that are doing it don't like it, but that's the way the company, that's the way they mandate services. In a lot of these big corporations, they're doing that. They're not just saying, oh, you're my attorney, whatever you charge. It's not like that anymore. So they make you bid against.
Well,
so the next time you might go down because you don't know what anybody else is doing either. All you know is that where you are in relation to the other two. So if you're the high guy, you're going to want to bring your rate down.
Well, so you'd always start high.
Yeah, you can start high and come down.
I'll tell you. So if I don't know, I'm not in your industry, but
I've only done it once.
If I was the principal, I'd say, okay, all our senior managers are on the first bid.
Yeah, sure.
All right, we got beat. Now we're chopping the senior management in half, and we're putting in some juniors.
And that's what they do. You put on senior partners, junior partners, paralegals, and stuff. You put a price for each.
Oh, one. So you just go a flat rate on whatever they use. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're not okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow,
it's pretty interesting. I mean,
the way
commerce is going today, and the way the big companies, it's not like it used to be. I mean, there used to be. You know, one firm would have almost all the business of one of the big companies. Not anymore.
No.
Pretty interesting. The lady that I was very friendly with at Honeywell became last week the general counsel for Apple.
Wow.
Which
wow.
is a huge move for her.
Is she in D.C. testifying right now?
No. She just went out to Palo Alto. She lived in Morristown for years. She had to move from there to
general counsel for Apple.
That's amazing.
Senior vice president. She reports directly to Tim Cook. It's pretty good. I mean, her resume is outstanding. I mean, she used to be law clerk for Sandra Day O'Connor in the Supreme Court and William Breyer and stuff. I mean, she was a very bright lady.
Wow.
She's still young. She's probably about 50. So she's making a lot of money. I'm sure.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I went to the window painting, which was pretty cool.
Did you paint?
No, I distributed paint.
Oh.
That's good. Yeah, I'm not very good on the color wheel. Kids are trying to get to certain colors, and I didn't do well in art class. I could get black, but they kept wanting gray, and I keep adding white, and it just wasn't, I don't know. I'm blaming it on the dyes. I think we were dealing with substandard paint. But there was some cool artwork.
Sparks bud.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to jack that up, guys. No, but it was neat. It's a great tradition that Parks kind of took over from the Optimus. And it was a beautiful day. It was unlike most years. Most of the time it's raw, and it's kind of what I remember of it.
Now we're getting back into the real weather.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh. We got spoiled for a while.
It's warm out now, though.
It's warming up today.
So,
yeah. 54 tomorrow or something.
Yeah.
Are we done?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. We can adjourn if you guys. Well, might as well make it official. Can I get a motion to adjourn the work session?
I'll move it.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? We're adjourned until 7 o'clock. Thanks. Hello? Yep.